All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. Look, we spent the first three segments focusing more on the precious metals sector along with the precious metal stocks. Let's take a step back and look at the broad averages and maybe some of the larger sectors within those broad averages. We are chatting with T.G. Watkins, Director of Stocks over at Simpler Trading, also editor of the Profit Pilot website, which we will link to in the weekend show posting. TG, give us your outlook broadly on these markets. We've heard comments that the highs could already be in for the year. We've also heard comments that the lows could also be in for the year. And on top of all of that, we're getting a lot of mixed market moves. We're not necessarily seeing the defensive stocks lead higher as tech has been doing fairly well. Small caps have been doing well. It really seems kind of like a mixed market out there where a lot of people, at least ones that don't have a preconceived either bullish or bearish outlook, they're confused. Can you clarify what you're seeing for us in terms of these markets and direction potentially moving forward here?
Yeah, I'll do my best to kind of just shine a little bit of light on what I see. The other thing is I had a market update that I put out there free on our YouTube page March 1st. I'll give you guys the link for that too so people can check it out. And it really summarizes a lot of the things that I was seeing out there at the time. And it seems to be holding up pretty well for how the market has been working. So that's why I keep talking about it. There was also another stat that just came out since we just closed the quarter. And it said that anytime the S&P 500 returns a greater than 7% gain in the first quarter, it has been a 100% track record that the market has been up fairly significantly a year later. So that's something to just kind of take out there. That doesn't mean it has to work. It doesn't mean it's going to be an easy path. And we're still mostly, as we were kind of talking earlier, we're still looking for more a broader based participation in this move because, you know, for everything that the market has gotten thrown at, I mean, everything, the banking crisis, interest rates, I mean, you name it, and the market is actually held up pretty darn well. And so kind of having to go with that. But the problem is it's still very narrow. We are seeing the bigger stocks move up. We're still seeing not broad-based participation. And as we were kind of discussing earlier, the thing that I've been looking at is that there are a lot of names that really kind of look like they're done going down. And this is the case that I made back even on March 1st. You know, I could just name a few. We got Palantir, we've got Sono and Scotts Miracle-Gro and Skin, and gosh, I mean, I could just name a whole bunch of stocks, Redfin and Pinterest and Roku and Roblox, that they're off their lows. And they have spent the last almost 2 years in a downtrend getting repriced. And they were underneath, during those 2 years, underneath the monthly 10, underneath the weekly 50, and underneath having the weekly 8 below the 21, all downtrend signals. But over the last few months, they have gone sideways, they've gone up a little bit, and now they're over all of those moving averages. And they're all starting to do this. Now, the problem is they're all going sideways. And so this is kind of what we're talking about. You know, the breadth participation isn't quite there. So it's like, okay, maybe the worst is behind us. And that's what we can kind of see through a lot of these stocks. It's like they're already repriced. I mean, they got absolutely shellacked, like totally smashed. They're down there. They're back to their pre-COVID lows or even worse. But now they've kind of found this equilibrium and starting to get over these moving averages. So at least all the ingredients are there that are needed in order for price to go up, in order for these trends to resume to the upside. But not all of them are starting to do it. And so that's kind of where we're in this middle ground, maybe this little hibernation of limbo that we're like, okay, everything is ready to go. Now we just have to figure out what the market needs in order for money to start coming back into these names and these tickers and start raising them up. So we might be in a little bit of that transition phase of just kind of like waiting and watching for whatever spark or trigger is going to get them going.
Yeah, TG, it is really interesting that the markets have been fairly resilient with everything that has thrown at them, as you pointed out. And it does seem like, as you've pointed out previously, that most of the repricing is behind us now in a lot of these markets, and a lot of them have been going up and piercing through moving averages and showing some relative strength, but the breadth is not there. And so I think that's an interesting point you just made. What will you be looking for, or are there certain indexes or certain areas of the market that you're looking for to see more participation? And what will that mean, in your opinion, when we do see more of a market breadth participation to the upside?
Indicators like number of stocks over their 50-day SMA, number of stocks over their 200-day SMA, those are some breadth indicators we can be looking at. Cumulative advanced decline lines, you know, stuff like that. We want to start seeing these things actually go up. Right now, they're still pretty much down in the dumps. You know, a lot of names are still just kind of down. And looking at just a number like that, like, okay, give me the number of stocks over their 50-day SMA. That number might be low. But if we look at the charts, we can see that that number might fluctuate a lot because a lot of these stocks are going sideways, which means for any given week, some of them might be over their 50, but then the next week they'll be below their 50 because they're going sideways. And so looking at breadth through just a slice of a number may not actually be telling the full story. That if you're looking at something like Redfin, it has been basically chopping through its moving averages over the last few weeks and few days. And that's kind of what we're trying to look at. I mean, it's really just been sideways, but it's off its lows. It looks like they're recovering. And as I said earlier, all the building blocks are here. They just need to actually start working and doing something about it.
Since we're talking so much about moving averages, what have you noticed broadly in these moving averages? Are they still moving down? Have they bottomed? Have they started moving up? What have you noticed, and what's important for the trend moving forward?
Yeah, well, the first thing to note that is important is that a lot of these moving averages are starting to stop going down. You know, they were in downtrends. A lot of them are now flat. And then that's kind of the first step. And then we need price to actually get on top of those moving averages, because, you know, you can't be going up if you're underneath moving averages. You can have bounces and downtrends, but you're not actually going up. So you need to get over these moving averages. And then I like to see price follow, like engage with an uptrending moving average. Like, we want to see it bounce off of and go up with an uptrending moving average. Very, very simple. You just take a big picture look, very simple. What are we looking at? So starting from the highest time frames, I like looking at the monthly 10. And then I like to look at the weekly 50. And then on the daily, the thing that I've been noticing, because the daily 50, you can see price goes up and over and below it a lot, you know, kind of oscillates through it. But the thing I've been seeing recently, and a lot of these names that have already been, you know, already repriced, already been down, been doing it for 2 years, what we're starting to see is that the daily 50 is starting to cross over the daily 200. And again, just the definition of an uptrend is when you have the fast moving average over the slow moving average. And the 50 and the 200 are major moving averages that a lot of institutions and a lot of traders look at. And the fact that the 50 is starting to cross over the 200, that is a trend change. And that is the same kind of trend change that we saw when this whole bear situation started about 2 years ago. You just look around at some of these stocks and, you know, they call them a death cross when the 50 crosses underneath the 200. We're starting to see the opposite of that. And we're starting to see that in world markets as well. If we look at FXI, we've also had the 50 cross over the 200. Now, it's still kind of shaking itself out, but we still have the 50 over the 200. It might actually right now be starting to maybe start the next leg up, if what I'm looking at. And the first time in about 2 years, we've had now price over the monthly 10. As I said, it's still shaking itself out, still trying to, you know, hammer out this low and this bottom, but we now actually have price over certain moving averages that we haven't had for the last 2 years.
Well, TG, a lot of people are more buy and hold investors. They're not active traders like you, and they're not maybe into, you know, getting into the momentum of a stock, you know, piercing up through moving averages and really getting some strength behind it. What would you tell people that are maybe not as active of traders that are listening to this interview, that are just looking to find out, has the dust settled overall? And is this an environment where if they get into general equities or maybe certain sectors within general equities, that they can feel a little bit more comfortable maybe buying and holding for a longer period of time? So are there any indicators you use that maybe give a longer time frame than the shorter term moving averages?
Well, honestly, I mean, everything I've been talking about today so far has been longer term. Heck, I mean, I'm talking about monthly charts and weekly charts. So for those of you who are longer term like that, those are the things. Those are the metrics I like to look at. On the weekly chart, make sure the weekly 8 is over the weekly 21. Make sure price is over the weekly 30 SMA. On the daily chart, make sure that the 50 is over the 200. You know, those kind of things. And make sure that they keep going that direction and that price continues to follow those moving averages and respects them. I also, in some of my classes, I talk about angle of attack. I'm a pilot, so, you know, angle of attack really means a lot to me. The best situation is when you have moving averages not just flat, but actually angled up. And the more steeply it's angled up, the more likely price is going to accelerate to the upside. So in this period of time where I'm looking at Palantir or FXI or Roku and all these names that are still flat, you'll notice that most of the moving averages are still flat. So the angle of attack is flat. So what we're looking for is something to start going. We need to start seeing price just start to move up. And then when price moves up, that'll start moving the moving averages up and angled up. That way, every time price comes back down to meet the something like a 50 SMA, that 50 SMA is going to be angled up, up, up. And every time it's going to bounce off it more, more, more. And it's going to be a self-perpetuating situation where price keeps moving higher off of a higher moving average, which gets a higher price, which gets a higher moving average. So we're right in the beginning of some of these. If you want to see an example, basically, of what I'm talking about, you know, go look at First Solar. And you'll see that First Solar has a very nicely angled up daily 50. And you'll see over the last year or something like that, a year or two or whatever, that every time it's bounced off of that uptrending daily 50, it's gone higher. And that's because the angle of attack of the 50 is in a pretty sharp up move. But if we look at something like Redfin, which might just be beginning, you can see that the angle of attack of the 50 is pretty flat. It's still just trying. You know, the engine's getting warmed up. So if you're looking at a longer term stuff, look at this. We might just be in the beginning. And one other caveat, just to make sure we're covered about this. I understand about the recession. I understand about the yield curve and the uninversion of it. And we got a lot of things out there that are still painting a lot of doom and gloom. So we need to understand that this may not just be like a, you know, a one-stop thing. We might be seeing that the market is kind of fixing itself now. A lot of these things have been repriced over the last years. We might be able to see a mini bull market now and things kind of moving up. But if things change, if economic data comes out, you know, if something gets serious, if the Fed has to pivot for bad reasons as opposed to good reasons, you know, we could see another move down over the course of a few months. But at that point, if the higher the market keeps going now, and the more that these things recover off their lows, if we do get a cycle down, that would maybe just be a major pullback in a new uptrend. And we could actually be looking at buying the dip over the course of months whenever that starts to happen. So this could be kind of a double dip situation. Okay for now, maybe another dip layer, and then we kind of get back on track again. We'll just have to see how that goes.
All right, TG, let's wrap it up here because look, there are a lot of question marks for this market, even for the economy. And I think we're all going to be reading throughout this year some of the gloom and doom potential in terms of a major recession, but there's also the bulls that are saying, look, tech's leading the way, so interest rates are coming down, this is a better environment for investors to get in. Boy, oh boy, it definitely is right now, I think, a stock picker's market and trends waiting to be developed. Who knows where this is going to take us, but this year, unlike last year at least, is a bit more constructive for investors. But as you said, maybe we're just waiting for a double dip. Who knows? Always great hearing what you have to say, though, TG. Everybody, thank you for tuning in on this weekend show. Please go back through our website and podcast. Listen to all the daily editorials and company updates we recorded this week. I hope you all have a very happy Easter. We'll be back with you next week. TG, everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for taking time with us this weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.